Where are you holding?
All right, we left off the end of Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. And this is part of a longer discussion about the fact that when produce have to be labeled as belonging to one year or another. Based on various psukim, you have to be careful to identify what year the produce belongs to, as that's relevant both for Trumos and Masros, where the pasuk says Shana Shana, where you have to be makbid to be mafresh only the Trumos and Maestros Shel Shanazu, Al Shel Shanazu. You can't take Trumos and Maestros from produce that are labeled as belonging to one year, and have that remove the tevel status of other produce that are assigned to a different year. So you have to always be able to be mindful of how to label the produce. And the second thing is about Shemitah, when produce are designated as Peir Shavias, they have Kedusha, and there are certain rules about what you're allowed to do with those produce. And so you have to always label these things. Well, the labeling of produce depends upon what kind of thing it is, what kind of plant the thing is that we're talking about. So if it's an Enwit, that's what we saw on the top of Yud Beis Amud Beis. It gave you some, it started talking about some of this. That's all background for what we're doing. And pretty much it has to do a little bit also on Amud Aleph, and then a little bit more coming up here. So we'll just go. We're at the bottom. The question was only about how to label the produce of Tiltan, Tavua, and Zaysim. So let's focus on the Tavua and the Zaysim. Tavua and Zaysim, where we're told that the produce, it says Mishatitzmacha Tavua. No, the Tiltan is Mishatitzmacha, and Tavua is Misha Yaviu Shlish. Havas Shlish is the moment in the life of the plant that you identify whether that what year it is. So at the moment that this tavua reaches shlish, a third of its growth, that's when you say, okay, is it year, is it a Shemitah year, is it pre-Shemitah, post-Shemitah, with respect to Shemitah issues, and with respect to which year of the Trumos and Maestros cycle, is it year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So you focus on the moment when it's what's called maybe shlish. A shlish is a third of its growth. So it says here that when that happens, that's when you label the produce. It's not true about other things, other plants. It says there are at least three broad designations. For Peres HaIlan, it says Chanata. We're going to see all this on Amud Beis. And when it comes to other vegetables other than Tavua, it's what's called Mishas Lakita. It's when you actually pick the vegetable. And it doesn't matter when or what it was at various points of its growth. It's just whenever you pick it, so then that's the year that it gets assigned to. Okay, so now the fact that Tavua is Mishahevi Shlish, the Gemara was trying to figure out how did we know that to be true. And we're in the middle of a drasha last week, where it's based on actually a pasuk absolutely out of left field, a pasuk about the hakel pasuk. It says, "Miketz shavashana b'moed shnas hashmita b'chagasukos." That's talking about the mitzvah of hakel, and the Gemara is trying to interpret that. You see from the wording of that pasuk that tavua is mishehevi shlish. That's what the Gemara was saying. So now we're on the bottom last three words. Amalei Rav Zera l'Rav Asi. Zera, the Amora, says to Rav Asi, Amora. Now, they were not the people involved in making the drasha. They're trying to reconstruct what was the drasha that the Tanoim had, that they determined that Tavua is supposed to be labeled based on the Havas Shalish. And this all has to do with the fact that we're talking about produce that is ready to be harvested on Sukkos. If the produce is ready to be harvested on Sukkos, then that produce is, if it's not yet ready until Sukkos, so then that produce is still going to be labeled based on the previous year. And if it's, and right, And if it's ready to be harvested only afterwards, so then that becomes labeled as produce of the current year. Now that's the theory. And the theory is that if you look back retroactively, you look back 2 weeks to the beginning of the year, because it's the beginning of the year that's the cutoff, you have to imagine that the plant was at an earlier stage of growth. If it's ready to be harvested now, so how long ago was it a shlish? How long ago was it a third of its growth? I think Gemara is working on the assumption that it was 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago. So it hit shlish. So that's why Sukkis, which is 2 weeks into the year, if you're ready to harvest on Sukkis, at least on the first day of Sukkis, so then that means that it was already at shlish before Rosh Hashanah, and it therefore has to be labeled as last year's crop. And if it's produce that's only ready afterwards, then that'll be this year's crop. And that is where the Gemara thinks that you get the idea that Tavua is determined and labeled based on its shlish bishulo, shlish gidulo. The Gemara says, well, I don't know, maybe that's not how you read the pasuk. Gemara says, Vidilma, we're ready to start now. Vidilma, lo, iel kalal. Maybe that's not how you read the pasuk at all. It's not referring to produce that you're ready to harvest now because it was already mostly grown or partially grown. Vidilma, lo, iel kalal. Maybe we're not talking about produce that had actually grown at all. Vekoama rachmana tashmeit, the tezel ad chagasukas. And maybe the point of this pasuk is saying something that we're not expecting, something that is forbidding the activity of avodas hakarko all the way up until Sukkos. And maybe that's what it means. It means you're not allowed to harvest. That mitzvah shavias is continuing until Sukkos, and you're not allowed to harvest the peros because of there being like an isur of violating the Dinei Shavuos, being Shemitah. It's not what we're used to, because that's not the way it's going to remain, but that's what we're proposing. Maybe you can't prove from this pasuk that Tavua is Shalish. Maybe there's a whole different connotation of the wording of the pasuk here that says that we're still calling... What's the issue? The issue is that the Drasha is saying that for a certain extent, Shemitah keeps going until Sukkos. So apparently something significant about Sukkos and about Shemitah from last year. Last year's Shemitah is somehow or other still stretching into Sukkos. At first the Gemara is thinking, yeah, that's with respect to something like the Tevua. Because up until Sukkos, the peros that are ready to be harvested are going to be labeled as last year's peros, even though it's after Shemitah is over. So it's for that purpose that we're viewing Shemitah as continuing. The Gemara says, well, I don't know, maybe it's this straight, maybe it's telling you the Shemitah keeps going up until Sukkos. So the Gemara says, nah, that's impossible, because lo sal kadaitach, dechsi v'chag ho'asif b'tseis ha'shana. Now, because the Gemara has another pasuk, the pasuk says that Sukkos is coming up another few days, and it says, and Sukkos is called chag ho'asif, and it says, Chag Asif, B'tseis HaShana. Now it sounds like B'tseis HaShana is like the end of the year. So what does that mean? Chag Asif, B'tseis HaShana. Now, normally, Chag Asif is called, well, how do we translate Chag Asif? It's which festival?
Harvest.
Harvest festival. Now what's interesting is that the word Asif in Hebrew and the word harvest in English both have a kind of a double connotation. When we harvest the produce, we really are doing two separate steps. We first have to cut the stuff down, and then we have to gather all the stuff up together and keep it, you know, where we want to store it. So those are two separate operations. One is called reaping, and one is called gathering. So that, but both of those kind of are included in the word harvest, and both are kind of included in the word asifa. The Gemara is saying, well, let's see. Pasuk says, Chag ha'asif b'tseis ha'shana. My asif. What does that mean, Chag HaAsif? That we're calling Sukkos the Chag HaAsif, the harvest time. Ilema Chag HaBa B'Zman Asifa. What does that refer to? It means that it's the holiday that comes at the time of harvesting. But that doesn't sound like a reasonable reading, because Haksiv B'Aspecha. Pasuk says it's B'Aspecha when you're doing the Asifa. So what does that mean? That means that it sounds like it's redundant. Is that the point? That's what Rashi says. It's like it's redundant. So that can't be what Chag HaAsif is. Okay. So you can't call it the Chag HaAsifa because the Pasuk says it's Chag HaAsifa when you're doing the Asifa. So that sounds redundant. So instead, Elamai Asif Katsir. So we're not talking about the Asifa, the gathering. We're talking about Asifa, the other stage, which is the reaping. The reaping when you cut the stuff down. The Gemara says, oh, so that must be what's going on. It's the time when you're cutting down the produce. The kim lehu l'rabbanan, the kol tivua sheniktzer b'chag b'yadua sheheviya shlish lefnei Rosh Hashanah. V'kakari le b'tzeis Hashanah. So, and the kim lehu l'rabbanan, pretty much, this is the key line. Kim lehu l'rabbanan, the kol tivua sheniktzer b'chag b'yadua sheheviya shlish lefnei Rosh Hashanah. The chachamim know, they've determined this, however they determine anything, they determine this, that the produce that's ready to be reaped, and specifically not produce, the tevua that's ready to be reaped, the grain that's ready to be reaped on Sukkos, must have had its shlish by Rosh Hashanah. So that fact is the premise of this whole analysis, and that therefore Chag HaAsif, with the time that you're ready to reap, so that's the interpretation of Asifa now for these purposes, is something that still doesn't say enough, but you have to see the next line, which is, and it's described as B'tzeis Hashanah. It's at the end of the year. So this is the, you put it all together and it comes out that for certain purposes, we're defining what's the end of the year based on the possibility of reaping the tevua on Sukkos.
So the Matthias is not whether you reaped it on Sukkos, it's whether it reached its maturity on Rosh Hashanah.
Right, and those are supposed to be equivalent. In other words, it's reaching not maturity because it's not going to be gemar free. It's shlish bishulo. It's when it's just up to a point where it's at shlish that can be right. So that can be inferred from it being fully ripe and ready to reap on Sukkos itself 2 weeks later.
Here it doesn't matter on Sukkos.
Right, that wasn't relevant. The relevant was that you were able to.
It'll be part of that closing fiscal cycle.
Right, that's the way to tell.
Whatever you want to call produce cycle.
Right, so it's really supposed to be what happens at the end of the year, right before Rosh Hashanah begins. But because you're not paying attention at that time, you're not necessarily easily able to tell. But 2 weeks later, you're able to tell. When you're ready to harvest it, it looks like it's fully ripe. So then that indicates that it was already ripe enough, a shlish, by Rosh Hashanah. So and it's called B'tzeis Hashanah, and therefore that tells me, put it all together, that's what the Gemara is saying. The Amoraim are suggesting this as the reconstruction of the drasha that the Tanaim had in order to establish the rule for tevua purposes. The label depends upon which year is it maybe shlish.
Am I missing something maybe because I came in the middle? Yeah. Why would you ever think that the shlish would start with the gathering? Because the fruit of the tevuah is going to grow after you cut it off of the tree. Well, isn't that to me? Doesn't make any sense. It would have to be from the reaping. When you cut it off, that's when the growth is going to be stemmed. That's when it should be the shlish should be determined, not from the gathering. I don't understand. Maybe
that's
I'm missing
totally
something.
True.
What do you mean?
Oh, well, the shlish is happening.
Fruits and things like that.
They don't got to grow after you take them off.
You take them off, they continue growing and they ripen.
Okay? They ripen, but they're not going to grow.
But that's part of growth. Size doesn't grow. Yeah.
Right, well, for these purposes, it doesn't really matter about... This is what we're trying to reconstruct. When did it hit a period of shlish?
Right, that's what I'm asking.
Now, the way this drush is going is it's the reverse. We're being told that... If it's ripe on Sukkos,
right.
Then it must have been ripening all along for the past few weeks or so.
Right.
2 weeks ago, how far along was it in its growth? Well, it was 2 weeks younger than it was now, and therefore 2 weeks less ripe. So at what level is that? So the Gemara says, well, they know that 2 weeks prior to its ripening.
Yeah.
It's at a point of shlish. It's a third of the way. It's a third grow.
See, but in other words,
now that's apparently an agricultural fact.
I don't know.
It takes 2 weeks from shlish to the end.
When you talk about growth, I'm not thinking about maturity and growth. Growth is, you know, is it viable? It's almost like a child before a certain age. It's not really a child. I look at growth totally. I don't know. Maybe I'm again off the wall, but I mean, ripening is different than growth because I mean, it's almost like growth refers to at what point the thing is sustainable. But not ripening means, yes, you give it more time, it ripes. But at a certain point, it's not edible. It's not considered like a fruit. You can't sell it. No one would buy it. I mean, I look at it differently. I'm just looking maybe at the terms differently. But that's why I asked the question, because maybe I'm missing something.
Okay. Well, we're just taking that if you're ready to harvest, if you're ready to reap, that means it's ripe enough.
Yeah, in other words, I'm sure that when they cut the either the fruits or the grain, they are ready to, it's ready to be sold. It can be sold at that point, or it can be gotten to be sold. Otherwise, they wouldn't reap it. In other words, there's a reason. I mean, first you reap, then you gather. Of course, you can't gather before you reap. That's why.
But either way, it doesn't matter. It's just saying what part of the fiscal year is the produce.
So I understand, but I mean, I'm talking about at the point of with the shlish has to be at the reaping and not at the get. Okay. All right. Look, I'm not a farmer, so I don't know.
So the Gemara thinks that it has a good source. I'm a Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Zeira. These are two Amorayim. Rabbi Yirmiya now asks Rabbi Zeira a question. He says, "V'kim lehu l'rabbanan ben shlish lepachas me shlish." He says, "Come on, you think that the rabbis were that precise? They know exactly that it's at a shlish versus a slightly under a shlish, and they could make such a categorical statement like that?" Okay, now this, if you happen to know a lot of other Gemaras, Rabbi Yirmiya pops in once in a while asking these kinds of questions. He has that as his reputation. As you see kind of from the next line, it's like Amalek. So Rabbi Zeira says to Rabbi Yirmiya, "Lava minalach, lo tape, lo tapik nafsheich mi bar meyilchisa." Now Rashi takes this to mean, but didn't I tell you not to ask questions like that? They're going to kick you out of the Beis Medrash again. So
you don't believe me?
So the point is that he asks these kinds of questions that are like, they push back really hard against statements that the other Amorayim are saying, and they didn't really like it so much.
He's like the anti-Rav Papa.
Okay, so he was pushing back and challenging the claim that they could determine that if it's ready to be reaped now, that means 2 weeks ago was at Shlish. So much so that they can define the year at Shlish, and that they can make it down to the day. So in any case, so that's why the Rav Zeira told him, "Call me those chachamim kainhu." That's the way the chachamim operate. They have sharp lines. They have sharp definitions, and it gives you examples. Ba'arboim sahu tovol, ba'arboim sah asher kortiv, and a yachalit bal bahen. A mikvah has to have 40 sa. It means exactly 40 sa. If it's missing even ounces, then that's not 40 sa. And apparently, that's something that is able to be determined, and that they, and it matters, and it's going to change the whole status of the mikvah. And you don't ask questions like, "Oh, come on, it's not realistic to expect that level of precision." The shear of tumas ochlim is kibetza, and if your food is just under, doesn't matter how much under, then it's not mitame tumas ochlim. And the expectation is that this is something that can be determined. Shlosha al shlosha mitami midras. Shlosha al shlosha chasr nima achas. Ain't a mitami midras. Same kind of a thing for a beged. That's shlosha tfachim al shlosha tfachim. That's something that potentially could become a tumas midras. Tumas midras is a higher level of tumas kli. But if it's just under shlosha al shlosha, ain't a mitami tumas midras. So he said, stop picking on the Chacham for no good reason, because this is the way we operate. And Hadaram Rabbi Yirmiya, said eventually, we don't know how long later, eventually he says, You know what? I retract my question. Because, why? It's just because I solved my own question. Lav mil sahid di amri. Truth is, you know, that I take it back. What I asked wasn't really a good question. Not that he was mollified by what Reb Zeira told him or anything, just that he worked it out himself. The bo minei chavraya me Rav Kahana, and here's Rabbi Yirmiyah's analysis of why it has to be that the chachamim can know and do know and are able to determine with precision these intervals. The bo minei chavraya me Rav Kahana, because he refers now to an agada about the Bnei Yisrael coming into Eretz Yisrael at the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. The Bo Minei Chavraya Mirav Kahana. Omer, Shehekrivu Yisrael B'knisafsan La'aretz, Meichan Hekrivuhu. The Korban Omer, and incidentally, the Korban Omer is a Korban of Seorim that you bring on the second day of Pesach. But that was right around when the Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. They came into Eretz Yisrael on Nisan. So then, that Korban Omer that they brought that year, Meichan Hekrivuhu. Where'd they get the Tvua? Where'd they get the Seorim? Where'd they get the stuff, the food, to be makri of the Korban Omer from? Im tomer de'il b'yad nachri. What are you going to say? Because it was already grown. Remember, the whole concept is that you're supposed to do the reishis ha'ketzir, and then that stuff is the stuff that you bring as the Korban. So it's supposed to be still growing. When you do the, when you bring the Seorim, you do what you did to the ketzir ha'omer for the Omer, and then you do the hakravas ha'omer the next day. So where did they get that tevuah? So it says here, well, what are you going to say? That it was stuff that was already growing. What do you mean? They got it from the stuff that was there. No, all of that stuff is pasul. Because the il b'yad nachri. Because all that stuff belongs to all the Kananim who are living there. It doesn't belong to the Jews, and it has to be. One of the rules of this Korban Omer is kitzir chem. Omer achamana velo kitzir nachri. Has to belong to you, you Jews. And it can't be Kitzir Nachri. It can't be the stuff that belongs to the Goyim. Now, a little pause over here. Let me just point out, you see from here, incidentally, that the Tevua was not considered Shel Yisrael until the Jews got there, and somehow or other, then it became theirs. And this, Tosfos raises the question, this is against the other Gemaras. Other Gemaras sound like, we were given Eretz Yisrael, and we own Eretz Yisrael, and our claim to Eretz Yisrael goes back even prior to our living in Mitzrayim, even from when Hashem gave Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was told, "Kom Yisalach Baaretz."
Seems like the first Rashi also, like.
That was saying that it's
it belongs to the Jews.
That it belongs to the Jews, but the question is when. Mm-hmm. It's only when we got in there. That's what it sounds like from our Gemara. It's only when we got in. Another Gemara sounds like it's from the Avos. The Tosfos makes that point. He says, well, yes, in a certain sense, we do own Eretz Yisrael, and other Gemaras are saying that we owned Eretz Yisrael all along. But even though we own Eretz Yisrael, but if they grow produce on it, then the produce belongs to them because they did all the work. That's a whole question about what happens when I do work on your land and something grows as a result of my work. We have a kind of a shared ownership of it because my portion and your portion both go into the final product. And so Tosfos make the point, you can't see from here that we did not already own Eretz Yisrael even before coming into Eretz Yisrael. There are other Gemaras, even in Psukim. Sounds like that was the whole Benos Selavchad question was about that issue about it. At what point did we own already Eretz Yisrael? So in any case, that's what this Gemara is saying. The produce, at least, would have been possible for the Omer because it belonged to the Goyim, the Canaanim, before we got in there. So that can't be it. It had to have grown afterwards.
Well, we didn't. I mean, when we came in, so we owned all the things that the Goyim had.
The land,
all of their land.
The land, right?
The land, yeah. I understand, but not something. You know, for example, the tractor. Let's say, arguments like the trowel.
Right, we would have no claim to any of this.
We first have to conquer
all of them and wipe them out, and then we could just take all the booty and loot. In any case, the Gemara says, Mimai the Akrivu. Gemara says, well, this whole analysis assumes that they actually brought the Korban. Doesn't say in the Pasuk that they did. So how do you know they brought the Korban Omer? Gemara says, Demelo Akrivu. Maybe they didn't bring the Korban Omer because they had nothing to bring it with. Gemara says, no, Lo Zal Gadaita. This sounds like it's kind of a parenthetical question that the Gemara is asking on Rabbi Yirmiyah's analysis. Remember, this is all Rabbi Yirmiyah is analyzing all this through in order to show the answer to his own point. But now this is a kind of a parenthetical remark. Well, what made Rabbi Yirmiyah think that there was a Korban Omer going on here? Maybe they didn't bring a Korban. The Gemara says, nah, they must have, because it says in the Pasuk, Vayochlu Me'avur Ha'aretz Mimachras HaPesach. Because they stopped eating the man, and they started eating the natural food from Eretz Yisrael, Mimachras HaPesach. Mimachras HaPesach. Where it says, Mimachras HaPesach Achol, and Me'ikar Lo Achol. They couldn't eat this stuff earlier because of the Isur of Chadash, and they did starting from Machras HaPesach on. And that could only be explained because the Akrivu Omer, V'hadar Achli. Incidentally, the analysis over here is a little bit tricky because what was the thinking? Let's say they didn't bring it at all. So then what would the rules have been? Let's say they didn't bring the Korban. Then what? Then they can never eat the Tevuah. So what exactly would have been the consequence of either not bringing the Korban over versus, yes, bringing the Korban over? Well, we know Bizman is that we don't bring the Korban over. So how do we deal with Chadash nowadays? So the answer is you have to wait the next day. That's what's called the Itzumu Shel Yom is Matir. At the end of the day, all the Chadash turns into Yashan and becomes Kasher. So this whole analysis really relies heavily on a very sharp definition of exactly when did they start eating the produce. Was it on the second day of Pesach? Or the day after the second day of Pesach? So the Pasuk says, no, they were already eating Mimachras HaPesach. They were already eating Mimachras HaPesach. Well, what does Pesach mean in that Pasuk? The first day of Pesach is Pesach, and Mimachras HaPesach is the second day of Pesach. So this, as we all know from the Seder, we all know that there's a whole question about what are the words Mimachras HaPesach, because in the Chumash it says, Mimachras HaPesach, Yotzei Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. We walked out of Mitzrayim on Mimachras HaPesach. What day is that? So this Tosfos quotes the Ibn Ezra, one of the very few, and I don't know how many other places the Tosfos refers to the Ibn Ezra right here, and Tosfos says the Ibn Ezra has this stira in Psukim, the Machar Sapesach question. Is Machar Sapesach the day after Korban Pesach, or the day after Achilas Sapesach? And it says in the Tosfos, and Rabbeinu Tam answered him back. They had a correspondence, apparently, if not a face to face, I don't know. He talked to him, so I guess. And the Rabbeinu Tam gave him an answer, and then, okay, the Tosfos have tried to determine whether this was a good answer. The well-known answer about how, well, it refers to different perspectives. We define Pesach one way from our perspective, one way from Hashem's perspective. That's not here in the Tosfos. But in any case, presumably what's going on is that how did they eat the Korban Pesach? After all, I mean, how did they eat the tevuah on day two of the Machras HaPesach unless they had brought a korban? That's what allows it to be eaten on day two itself, right after the korban. So it must be the Akrivu Omer, the Hadar Achli. So now the question again, Rabbi Yirmiyah is still in the middle of his analysis. Where'd they get the stuff? From Heifan Hikrivu Amalahan, Kol Shalohevi Shlish B'yad Nachri. So he tells them, well, Kol Shalohevi Shlish, it must have been that when they walk in to Eretz Yisrael, there was tevuah that had not yet ripened to a shlish level, up to the point of shlish. And therefore, once they come in, the shlish happens while they are already present to take over. So the shlish happens while they're there. And if they're there, then it's not katsir akum, it's katsir chem.
Do they have to buy it, or just the fact that they were there?
I guess it's enough for them to, I don't know, I don't exactly know. They were just present. I mean, they hadn't actually conquered anything. It took a while for the first conquest, I thought, was Yericho. But
okay. Did they offer them, here's my unripened.
I don't know what happened.
I think they offered
so it says here, Kol Shalohevi Shlish B'yad Nafri V'dilma.
What are you doing?
The Gemara says, well, hold on a second. V'dilma Iyel V'lo Kim Lohu. So now Rabbi Yirmiyah's analysis is saying, now the truth is, come on, how could they be so confident that they were able to be makriv from tevuah that had exactly not yet hit a shlish? After all, if we're talking about such close timing, maybe they were wrong. How could they bring the korban on the assumption that they knew what they were doing? And you see, Ella Kimlehu. So you see that they were confident in their calculations. Hachanami Kimlehu. So that's how Rabbi Yirmiyah proved that just like the farmers of the time, in the time of Yehoshua, somehow or other were confident, somehow, about the produce growing in a land they hadn't ever been in, so too, the Chachamim can make determinations based on the produce that they were familiar with, and so they can say Shlish exactly. The Gemara says, well, hold on a second, aren't there other ways to interpret? If Dilma lo il klal, aval heifa de il riva ben Shlish lepachas me Shlish lo kim lehu. Well, okay, so now the Gemara still has a problem with Rabbi Yirmiyah's calculation, his analysis. Well, how do you know exactly that the ripening was able to happen during that entire time? I don't exactly know what this akasha is. V'dem alo il klal, aval heicha t'il riva bein shlish l'pachas mishlish lo kim lehu. Maybe they're able to make gross determinations but not fine determinations. I don't really know what this line means.
What for someone who wanted to get rid of their...
Oh, that's the point. Oh, wait a second. Oh, that's right. Rashi just says what's going on here in the Gemara is that maybe they were able to find produce as soon as they got in. That was very clearly very unripe. It was much earlier than a shlish. And then that it was able to grow under their watch. That they were able to be confident that this stuff was stuff that hasn't even grown at all. But maybe they're not so good at making fine determinations. And they were only able to get by because they were able to watch very obviously less than a shlish produce. The Gemara says, no, what are you talking about? No, what are you talking about? They only walked in on the 10th of the month. So how long did it take for it to fully ripen by the 16th of the month? 6 days? So you want to say that it became... from way less than a shlish to fully ripe in 6 days? That's ridiculous.
It would be more like Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
It would have to be... God, yeah, it would have had to have been much farther along in its growth. It had to have at least been a shlish.
Like 2 weeks.
Or at least been right up to a shlish. For this to work, it had to have been right up to a shlish when they walked in it on the 10th. So Gemara says, V'yisal garetach delo yil kalal b'chamisha yomim b'kamalya. Is it going to be able to grow from like zero to full in 6 days? Gemara says, well, Elamai, the Eel River, Odanka, Akati Bachmishi of Mika Malya. Well, what are you talking about? So, what are you going to say? That it was really exactly up to Shalish? Is it going to really be able to grow in 5 days too? How did that make it much better? The Kasha is still a good Kasha. Mm-hmm. How did it grow fully from Shalish to fully? Elamai, Eslach Lameimer, Eretz Tzivik Ziva. Well, what are you going to say? You have to say it happened. You have to say that it must be, that's how the Tzivua grows in Eretz Yisrael. That's how Eretz Yisrael is. It can become from Shlish to full in 6 days, in 5 days.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I'm not a farmer, but I have in my backyard a fig tree. And there's a lot of figs there. And when I look at it, I see like a branch with like a whole bunch of them. And they're not ripe at all. And then 3 days later, if it's just hot enough, all of a sudden they're like twice the size. And they're ready to be...
Yeah, that kind of thing happens.
So,
yeah, just like you see bushes, they have no flowers, and then somewhere or other in 2 days, they're fully...
I do see that they're...
There are rapid changes.
If I take them off the tree a few days before that, they look like they're not ready at all.
Also,
right, so this is certainly very, very likely. But the Gemara says that it's something that is not typical. It has to be based on like a pasuk, Eretz Tzvi Ksivba. It's because of some special quality of Eretz Yisrael that you're not going to find generally being the case. But without having any farmers here that actually know what the growth cycle of... This is specifically to grain. This is a grain thing.
But I'm saying it's surprising it doesn't say maybe the time is different, meaning Rosh Hashanah to Sukkot, it might take 2 weeks.
Okay, that's another thing.
But
Rosh Hashanah part of the year... is what we've been talking about all along. This was going on Pesach time, the opposite end of the growing cycle.
Exactly.
This is the Nisan time of the year. I didn't realize that you could grow grain like at any time. But okay, there are different growing seasons, I guess, for grain. There's the Nisan season, there's the Tishrei season.
It could grow faster in Nisan.
It may be.
Because in there it's control. It's definitely...
Okay, it may be. Either way.
It is.
Right,
yeah,
but
it is.
It's
twice a year. There's the regular summer harvest.
Right.
It's called winter.
Yeah, there is a winter wheat here. That's
okay.
Right. Okay.
Which here,
fair enough.
But down south and other places.
Also, when
if you're going to put it into a different location, and that's how you're accounting for these different things.
Also, in Nisan, the water level is very high in Eretz Yisrael. By El, the water is, there's no water. They have to wait for the...
Right.
So that
okay,
also,
all of these are very valid comments. It could be that this is what was going on, and everybody maybe knows all about it, and I just don't. So so we got to a point where Rabbi Yirmiyah had satisfied himself that... Yeah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah satisfied himself that this was certainly possible for the Chachamim to be koveya precisely that shlish is the cutoff, and that if it grew up to a shlish by Rosh Hashanah, it's last year's. If it's not, it's the following year's, and that's the rule. All of this was required only because we were in the middle of trying to get a drasha for how do we know that shlish is the cutoff, and we're working now, given the pasuk that talks about Chag HaAsif. That must assume that Shlish was the cutoff. Okay, that was how we came to this. Now, Maskif la Rabbi Chanina. Now, Rabbi Chanina, another Amora, says, hold on a minute, I have a problem with your whole Jerusha. Mimatzis Amrit, the high Asif Kitzir, who? Can you really interpret the Pasuk by Sukkah saying that it's Chag HaAsif, meaning it's the time of the reaping? The Pasuk says, Chag HaSukkah ta'asa lecha. Pasuk says you have to make sukkahs. At what time? When you're doing asifa of the goren. What asifa is it? So it says you're going to say that's the ketzir, but it's not. The omar mar. But the tanoim say, you know what this pasuk is telling me? It's telling me how do you make schach? The psolas goren v'yekev akos medaber. It's saying that what you need to build a sukkah is you need schach from the psolas of goren v'yekev. You need to have stuff that's cut off, and that's you've already harvested, you've already reaped. This can't mean asifa as in the time of the reaping. This has to be after the reaping time. It must be the gathering, asifa. Especially since we're talking about you gathering it because you can throw it up on as your schach. So Rabbi Zeira thought this was a terminal kasha. This was a kasha that ruined the whole drasha altogether. Rabbi Zeira, ha milsa havoy biyadan. Rabbi Zeira said, we had an approach we thought worked. The Asar Rabbi Chanina, Shara Beinarga, and Rabbi Chanina comes along and he slashes the whole thing apart and it's dead. Ella, so instead, forget that whole drasha, the whole amud is down the drain. And now let's back to our first question. How do we know that Tavuah Shlish? Now suddenly we actually have an answer, which is from Braisa, Kedisanya Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Omer. The Yasas is a Tzvah L'Shlosh HaShanim. Context over here is talking about the Shemitah and the Yovel, 2 years out of commission, when you're not able to work the land. And it says that if you get a bracha, if you're keeping Shemitah, you get a bracha, and the produce from the Erev Shemitah will last you for 3 years. Yasas is a Tzvah L'Shlosh HaShanim. The word Shlosh, Al Tikri L'Shlosh, we're on the base now, Al Tikri L'Shlosh Ela L'Shlish. So if you put it all together, what comes out is that asas is a tevua l'shlosh hashanim. The tevua is made, right? Yeah, asiyas ha-tevua in shlish. There you go. So the wording, although the wording is not the pshuta shel mikra, obviously, but the drasha they're making is that this tevua is made, meaning it becomes formed, and it becomes formed enough to the point where it has the identity as being tevua, and at shlish. That's the drasha. The Gemara says, hold on a second, you can't make such a drasha. But you can't make drashas on things which are not extra or unusual or something. Well, there's nothing extra about this. The pasuk was saying, it's giving you a bracha and you're going to have 3 years of tevua. The Gemara says, no, that's not extra. Even if it hadn't said it this way, you could calculate that's what's going to happen. Because ksiv krachrina, uzratim asa shana hashminis, ve'achaltim ha tevua yashana shana chiyas. Pasuk says, obviously, what's going to happen, even without summarizing it as saying 3 years worth, you figure out on your own. Well, I can't plant on the seventh year, I can't plant on the eighth year, I'm going to first plant on the ninth year. Finally, by the time I'll be able to get any of that food, it's going to be 3 years later. So figure it out. So the fact that it even has to spell out that it's 3 years worth is itself extra and therefore subject to this drasha, and that's the drasha. Okay, moving on. Tanan Asam. There's a Mishnah that says ha'oreiz v'yadochon epragan hashem shemin sheheshrishu lufnei rashchoda rosh hashanah misasrim l'shanah she'avar mutara mishviyas v'yimlav asura mishviyas misasrim l'shanah haba'a. Okay, so this is what the Mishnah says. For a certain, like we said before, certain different plants, different produce have different ways of labeling their year. When it comes to oreiz and dochen and pragan and shimshmin, Rashi says that it summarizes all of that as kitnios. What is the factor that matters to label the kitnios as being a produce of one year or another? It says it's misha hishrishu. It depends on when it takes root. Now that's not a stage that we've encountered at all before. We've only encountered, that's what the Gemara is going to say in a second. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, well, let's see. Amar Rabban on Ilan Basachanata. Produce from a tree, those are always defined based on a chanata, based on when does the first budding of the, okay, help me out here, anybody who's a farmer, the first flowering of the fruit on the branch or something. So that's the chanata, blossoming. Okay, so the ilan is defined by what the chanata, and nothing else matters. We don't care, you know, about when it became fully ripe, when you plucked it. Those aren't relevant. The thing that's relevant is when does chanata happen, and if it happens, you know, on one side of the Rosh Hashanah divide, then it has one status, and the other side of the Rosh Hashanah divide, it has a different status. Tavua, vizesim, that's shlish. That's what we said before. Yerek, other vegetables. Basar lakita, other vegetables, it depends when you pick it. So that's it. Those are the only things that matter. So what's going on over here? That we have all of these other things, which are like kitnios, and hani kamanshevin rabbanan. And what's with them? They're hashrasha. Is the thing that matters. Hashrasha is none of the above. It's when it takes root. That's very early. Hadar Amar Rabba. Rabba then again kind of rethought, and he explained, okay, he knows what's going on. B'tosh asuyin prachin prachin azir abana basar hashrasha. Rabba says the following. He says, well, I guess the Chachamim saw that it was not practical to use what it should have had as it's cut off. It should have been, because these are vegetable produce, right? So it should have been lakita. But apparently, as any farmer of kitnios will tell you, that they don't actually reap all of these produce at the same time, at one shot. They're going to likely see a batch, and they're going to take some. And they're going to see another batch and take some. And this could happen over a spread of days or weeks. And so what happens is you get into big trouble because you're going to have some of your produce is going to belong to one year and some to belong to another year. And that's going to make trouble because of this rule that you have to make sure to be mafresh only Meshana Zu, Al Shel Shana Zu.
And taxes also.
Okay, there you go. Exactly. So the point being that it is not also, it's that. That's this. So what it's saying is that therefore the Chachamim kind of established a policy, and Rashi says it's okay for them to make such a policy because we're only talking about Shumus and Maestros of vegetables, which are Drabanan altogether in any case, and therefore they can define the parameters based on considerations that they think are necessary for their purposes. So the Gemara is saying over here, well, it must have been that they saw that it was impractical to follow for these things the regular policy of Lakita, and therefore they made it based on something that is a single moment, namely Hashrasha. The Hashrasha will happen because they are going to plant everything at the same time. It's only what happens staggered is when they're going to reap the field, the produce from the field. So that's what's happening at staggered times. So the point is that they kind of added by policy, this is going to be Hashrasha because there wasn't really any practical way to use Lakita as a determinant for purposes of the Shumus and Maestros. The Gemara says, that can't be what's going on. Amalei Abaye, we have a simple solution whenever it's this kind of problem. The Yitzbor Gar No Lesocho, the Nimtza Torah Min HaChara Shebo Allah, HaChara Shebo Min HaYashin Shebo Allah, Yashin Shebo. This is cool. Here's what he says. He says, let's even say it's true. I have some piles that came from this reaping, and some plus from this reaping, and some from this other, and there was a cutoff in the middle. So some of the tevuah, some of the kitniyos belongs to last year, and some belongs to this year. I have a simple solution: how to make sure that I'll be mafresh min achadash al achadash min yashin yashin. Take all of it, put it all together in a pile, and blend it up really well. If you have a well-blended pile of little particles, of which some belong to pre-Rosh Hashanah, some post-Rosh Hashanah, and a mafresh of a proper proportion, proportionately, I'll have a perfect hafrasha on last year's, because the proportion that I'll have here is going to be the same proportion as the overall amount. And so if I have, I don't know, let's say 10% was last year and 90% was this year, and I take off my batch, my batch will also be made up of if it's a well-blended batch, then my batch itself will have that same proportion of 10% from last year, 90% from this year, and I'll have the all of the correct numbers will work out. It'll be the right breakdown, and I'll have had enough produce from this batch that I pulled off that'll cover last year's from last year's batch and this year's from this year's batch, and it'll be perfect. So Rav Yehuda says, but you don't have to change the whole policy of when you define, when you label the year just in order to solve this problem. We have a simple solution for these little particle things that you could blend. I mean, this is not going to work for watermelons because like the numbers, the objects really are too big.
You can't really blend
what?
Them.
But it works for, well, it wasn't wheat that this was relevant. This was relevant more for beans and for rice. I don't know. There must be an Israel rice crop somewhere. But it works for rice, for dochen, for pragen, and as Rashi just summarizes for kitnios, that these things, which potentially has this problem of Shem Shire, but the Gemara says, come on, we have a simple solution. You don't have to change the whole definition of what's the Shana. He says it'll be just v'yitzbor, granul esocha, v'imtza torim min achara shebo ala achara shebo, min ayishin shebo ala achara shebo, b'ilo tanya. We know that. That's what it says in the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, Amar Mishim, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, Pul ha-Mitzri, Shazara lezera, Miksaso hishvish lifne Rosh Hashanah, Miksaso hishvish l'achara Rosh Hashanah, ein tor min ma'asrin mizel, zel, v'ish ein tor min ma'asrin, lo min achara shal yashan, v'lo min ayishin ala achara, keitzer hu oseh. This is a braisa that's Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. According to Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, he says, you know, you have this problem even with a similar kind of a condition of the Pul HaMitzri, which, as Rashi kind of clarifies what's going on over here, is that this product, this Pul HaMitzri, sometimes you have to treat it as a kitnius, and sometimes you treat it as an ordinary vegetable, depending on what you're doing with this pul bean. It's a little bit unclear, Rashi and Tosfos, about exactly which things you need to do in order for it to be treated as a kitnius and which thing you need to be doing to be treated as a regular vegetable. But the point is that you can have both conditions, and that has two different definitions of which year it belongs to. So you might have the same kind of a problem within the Pul HaMitzri crop. And the solution that was given by Rav Shimon Shizuri in the Braisa is Ketzer Hu Osa, same thing. Osa Sover and Garno Liso Osa. Ketzer Hu Osa, what do you do? Sover Garno Liso Cho. Take all of it and make it one pile out of it and mix it up. You'll be able to be confident that you have been taking chadash al chadash and yashin al yashin because of this, the even blending. So you see that works. Amalei. Okay, so now that's what Abai suggested. Rabbi says to him, what are you talking about? Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, comrade. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, sovereign yesh bila. Well, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri obviously holds that an attempt to blend will be effective enough that you can rely on it, that the blend is done uniformly and you have a uniform mixture and that you can rely on that. That's a question, whether yesh bila or not. Can you rely on the uniformity of the blend? But Rabbanan Savri ain bila, and if you don't have confidence in this belila effort, then you can't rely on this as your solution. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Shmuel. So that was what was going on. That was why Rabbah said there was the Chachamim who did change the definition must have been activated by this concern, and they weren't confident in the Bila suggestion. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani Amr Shmuel Halacha Karebi Yosef Ben Kippur Shamisham Rabbi Shem Shazuri. Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani quotes Shmuel saying, we paskin like Rabbi Shem Shazuri. Maskehu Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says to him, what are you talking about? Be Amr Shmuel, you couldn't have said this. Be Amr Shmuel, Lakal Ein Bila Chutzmina Yayin Veshemen. Shmuel is on record as saying very clearly, there is no bila, in other words, you can't rely on the blending of any substances other than liquids, like yayin v'shemen. Those you get, those you can rely, that the mixture is going to be uniform. So if Shmuel is on record as having said that, Shmuel can't now paskin like Shem Shazuri, because we just said Shem Shazuri was relying on bila for his whole method to work. The Gemara answers, well, this is now, I guess, this is Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani who has to respond to this, or it's just the Stam Gemara who's responding on behalf of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani. He says, well, yes, except, it says, Ishtamitze, ha di Amar Shmuel, ha koholech achar Gemar Pri. You forgot. Shmuel himself, he happens to have another shita that accounts for what's going on. Shmuel doesn't follow the Hashrasha, when it comes to these produce, he follows the Gemar Pri. So if you're holding the Gemar Pri, that means that it's not based on Blila that you say you can make a pile and be mafresh. It's because it's actually all Shoshanazu. Because the definition of the year for purposes of the kidney is, according to Shmuel, is not about the Hashrasha. It's not even about Lakita. It's about Gemar Pri. And Gemar Pri happens at the same time across the board. It doesn't matter when you pick. Not that it's Shana Zu. It's Shana, whatever the Shana of the Gemar Pri happened. And so it doesn't matter what your purpose was when you plucked these Pula Mitzris. And therefore, yes, he holds like Rishon Shazuri, but not Mitaime. It's not based on Belila. Okay? Sorry it took so long.
Sunday 1-1 Sunday Sukkah.
Ah, nice. Well, you're talking to the